This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you in part by Beso.com. Beso is a shopping and style inspiration site that allows you to shop for tens of millions of products from thousands of stores and brands. And Beso now has a free app available. It's like Pinterest, but for shopping. So head on over to Beso.com. You guys are going to love this.
Beso.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Christine Blackburn, and I want to personally thank each and every one of you guys for listening to Storyworthy. Storyworthy has more listeners than ever before, and really, it's thanks to you guys. So please, tell a friend, a coworker, or a family member about the Storyworthy podcast, and then we can keep the shows coming. Now let's get to it.
Hey, it's Kira Soltanovich, and yes, it's true, you listen to Storyworthy, and guess what? So am I. I'm in the future.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Museum of Tolerance on Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles, California.
Hey, that's a good one, Hannes. I'm impressed.
It is a good one. It does. I've never been there because it sounds like the least fun museum on the face of the earth.
It's true.
An important museum, but not fun.
Not fun. And every time you go to LAX, of course, you pass that on the 110 South. You pass the exit for the Museum of Tolerance.
Oh, right.
And it makes me think, you know, welcome to Los Angeles. Come learn about, you know, the persecutions.
Yes, well, we keep tolerance in a museum. We don't practice it.
No, not so much.
Not in the streets at all. No, not while we're driving.
All right, Hannes. All right. Fair enough. Our guest tonight, Kira Soltanovich, she brings forth the topic, Hannes, anti-Semitism.
Funny.
Anti-Semitism. Here's what I know.
Here, tell me what you know.
You can spell it a couple of different ways.
Interesting.
I know, and they're not wrong. But you know, where I grew up outside of Pittsburgh, I'm sure there were Jewish people, but because I grew up Catholic and in this tiny, really small, rural community, it just wasn't on my radar. Now I'm living in Los Angeles, and my daughter doesn't have school today because it's Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
So you
and
see,
you are not Jewish.
No, I'm not.
And your
ex-husband
is not Catholic
either. I'm not Catholic.
Right. Well, they always say the thing about that my Jewish friends, and I have like four of them. If I get a fifth one, I have to drop one out. I can't have more than four.
Wait, that's not true. You know more comedians than
I
know.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
Okay.
You're anti-Semite. You don't recognize jokes. I see what happens. All right. I'm calling. I'm writing the Museum of Tolerance right now.
That's how innocent I am.
By the way, Evan, our friend
Evan Gore,
who I've known since first grade. Gore, my first and oldest Jewish friend.
That's right.
Well, that's got nothing. My mother was born and raised in Nazi Germany. My mother was a child during World War II. And as I say in my act, you know, she could always do that shit where it's like I'd complain about taking out the garbage. She'd go, you know, when I was your age, we were getting bombed by the Allies.
Yeah.
But so my mother was very much, as an immigrant from basically Nazi Germany, was very much into making sure people knew how liberal she was.
As a German.
And how not stereotypical what everybody in America in the 50s and the 60s thought the Germans were.
Right.
And she was really ticked off every time they'd be watching some movie and they'd be like, oh, the Nazis are the bad guys. She'd be like, could there be one German in a movie?
Right.
Who's not a bad guy?
You know, it's interesting because now, again, growing up where I grew up, there weren't a lot of Jewish people. And so
see, they were there and they
I get it. They just weren't in our very small circle.
Yeah.
And so I look up on Wikipedia some of the persecutions and some of the anti-Semitism over the years, and I am blown away because a lot of times people, I guess like where I'm from or what I always just knew was about the Holocaust. I mean, I thought about the Holocaust and I think that was a really bad thing, but turns out, may I just read this?
Please.
All right. Notable instances of persecution include the pogroms, is that right?
Pogroms.
Pogroms, which preceded the First Crusade in 1096, the expulsion from England in 1290, the massacres of the Spanish Jews in 1391, and of course, most people know, see, I did not know, but there's been an official Soviet anti-Jewish policies and the Jewish exodus from Arab and Muslim countries, as you know. So, it goes on all the time. And, you know, recently we had Reese Barr on the show, and she spends a lot of time in Tel Aviv. And I ask her about that, you know, like, how does that feel to live in a place where everybody around you hates you?
Yeah.
You know, I can't even get my mind around that.
She said it's like being in show business.
She said Tel Aviv is like a bubble. You know, like it's its own little thing.
Yeah, she also said it was very much like supposedly London was during the Blitz, which is that everybody is like out in the streets partying, spending money all the time because, you know, at any moment some a-hole could blow something up in a discotheque.
What's the Blitz mean?
The Blitz was when the Germans were bombing London during World War II.
Wow.
So, as in Blitzkrieg. So, you were in London, one of the most sophisticated and oldest cities in the world, and at any moment the air raid sirens go off and you'd have to rush into a... this is why you see all these t-shirts now. It says, keep calm and...
carry on.
Carry on. That was the slogan.
Oh, my gosh. I thought that was invented by Stella Artois.
No, it was not.
Budweiser. I'm kidding.
Jew. What? Did I say that? Listen, no.
It's fascinating, though. It's such a history. Sometimes I think now as an adult, I should go back and take some history classes. You know, like now, like,
really,
when I want to learn.
You should. And, yeah. And it's like I know more about history than a lot of people, and I don't really know very much, which
you
is an indication
so,
of how.
You know a lot.
Not as nearly as much as I should know. This is what I'm saying. But what I was going to say about the, I've completely forgotten. Never mind.
All right.
It's podcast gold.
That's podcast gold
where
right
I start a sentence and then I forget what I'm saying.
Hey,
this
folks,
is quality entertainment.
We do have a really funny, not just funny, but a talented storyteller coming up, Kira Sultanovich. But I did want to mention first that the folks, if you want to support Storyworthy, and of course you do.
Yes.
Then what you do is you head on over to storyworthypodcast.com, the website, right?
The website. And
before
then,
you shop at Amazon.com.
Right, you click on our Amazon ad, you go there, you shop normally for Civil War pornography.
The train keeps moving along.
We do not get any names.
The
we do
show
get a list of
coming,
what's bought.
Right.
And so we do judge you silently,
that's
but we don't actually
true.
Know who you are.
You always say that. That
I know,
not
we don't
true.
Judge anyone.
No,
we
it's
don't
not
judge
the judging.
You.
We don't even get a list. It's not happening.
Oh, I thought we got a list.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm so sorry for my co-host.
All right, fine. All right, fine. We don't know anything about what you. All we get is your photograph surreptitiously taken through your webcam. Other than that, we have no idea who's doing this.
The only thing I also
that and the NSA obviously keeps the track because the known terrorists love Storyworthy. This is a very important fact.
All right, and the only other thing I wanted to mention, folks, is please follow us on Twitter. I sure do have fun on the Twitter, Hannes, at Storyworthy. That's easy to
That's
remember.
That's right. You've probably seen our many tweets about the LA podcast that we just finished up. Boy, that was great, wasn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kira Sultanovich is here, and I'm excited about that.
Yes. So are we.
Okay, Hannes,
we,
good
by
to hear.
By we, I mean me and my multiple personalities.
That's what I thought. All right, you guys, so wherever you are, stay tuned, because Kira's on her way here. Hey, Hannes, I want to talk a little bit about one of our sponsors, Beso.com. You know, Beso now has a free app.
Yeah, I know that. It's awesome because it eliminates the part of shopping that I hate, leaving my house.
On the Beso app, you guys, you can shop for tens of millions of products from thousands of stores and brands, all in one simple app.
Yeah, it's a boredom buster. You can use it in line for coffee, or if you're in the post office, you can just scroll through and, see what Beso's recommending for you.
Exactly. And then you can tell Beso, you know, your personal style persona, you know, like classic or preppy, rocker, and then they'll do the searching for you. It's amazing.
I think my fiancé is probably a romantic feminine.
Which is why she probably would like to get married someday, Hannes.
That would be... Anyhow, I know I can get her great gifts at Beso.com.
All right, you guys, download the free app right now at Beso.com. It's like Pinterest, but for shopping.
Hey, it's Jim Cran from Jim Cran No Restrictions Podcast, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We've actually left the Museum of Tolerance. We've crossed Pico Boulevard to Winchell's Donuts, where I have found a delicious glazed donut hole.
You know,
oh my gosh.
Isn't it true that, like, the best meal of the day is when you are done with a museum? Like, when you're done with the museum, and then you get to go to a restaurant, that's
You almost
good,
feel like you
best.
Need a reward. Because
you need a reward because you just, God, you took in so much goddamn information, whatever museum it is. And so you do. You just need some pie. That's all.
Right. Actually, what you want to do when you leave the Museum of Tolerance is not go to Winchell's Donuts, although we are enjoying it. Hi, Mabel. But you want to go to one of the very kosher delis right on Pico Boulevard, right near the Museum of Tolerance.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, Kira Sultanovich is here. Kira Sultanovich, she's a comedian, a writer, an actor, and a producer. She's been a reoccurring character, Hannes, for 7 years on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno as the voice of the photo booth.
I've seen that. And of course, we'll talk later. I've done some sketches for The Tonight Show myself.
I knew you were going to. You just added what you do. I know, but I'm doing her bio, and then you just went into how you've been on Jay Leno.
This is show business.
Oh, God damn it. I'm sorry, Kira.
I don't apologize. I don't really care about her at all.
Kira has a new podcast, you guys. It's called The Mother Funny Show. It's very funny, and it's available on iTunes. You can find her at kiracomedy.com, and, of course, you can follow her on Twitter, which is really the way to go, I think.
Sure, the kids nowadays.
At Kira Comedy. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Kira Sultanovich.
Yay! I clapped for myself. I just want to start off this story by saying that I don't think my father-in-law is anti-Semitic. I don't think he hates Jews. It's not like he, you know, walks around going, Jews. It's more like Jews, right? It's like the low-sodium version. It's a diet version of anti-Semitism, like less calories, if you will. I'm going to give you the end of this story first. I want you to know how it ends. It's very important. And then, while you're listening to it, you will know the end of the story first. Okay. We have all taken bad pictures of ourselves. Or someone has taken a bad picture of us. Or we've been in a bad picture, okay? I want to tell you the end of the story. My father-in-law blew up a picture of me and framed it, okay? Blew up a picture of me and framed it. That's how the story ends. This took place this last Easter, April, this past April. And we were at my in-laws' home where they have an Easter egg hunt. And the grandkids are running around looking for Easter eggs. And I have a two-year-old. And I am a Jew. Okay, so a lot of this Easter stuff is just like, you know, candy on sale for me, really. That's all that it means. So, you know, my in-laws are Catholic, so they're walking around telling my two-year-old, who is a Jew, that the Easter bunny was here, and he laid all these eggs. And I'm behind my kid going, no, he wasn't, never happened. And then Jesus, and then resurrected, and then 3 days, and there was a big rock. No, that didn't really. So I can see the tension building and between myself and my in-laws. And my father-in-law announces that there's an Easter egg with a $1 bill in it. And then he looks directly in my eyes, directly in my eyes. So I tell my two-year-old, you go find it. So my kid's looking around for Easter eggs and he finds the Easter egg with the dollar bill in it, right? He's excited. He opens it up as a dollar bill. He unravels it and he shows it to his grandpa and he says, Grandpa, look. And my father-in-law starts taking pictures, right? Taking pictures of my son with all his Easter eggs in the basket and the dollar bill. Now, I am behind my son in some sort of Jewy pose. I don't know what I was having, like a seizure or an allergic reaction to something, but I'm hunched over and I'm staring at this dollar and my hand is outstretched and my face is like, money! Like I look like one of those goblins that were in charge of the banks in Harry Potter. You know they were supposed to be Jews, right? Yeah. We're not kidding ourselves. We know they were Jews, right? And I'm like, Harry Potter! And my face is the most Jewy face I've ever... I didn't know my face could look like a combination of Golda Meir meets every rabbi you've ever seen, meets like every banker, like it's just... Yeah, meets an angry agent slash just Jew, like super Jew. Like if there was an evil Jew who was like Gargamel meets... like every Jew you've ever seen in one of those Hasidic outfits in LA on a Saturday when it's 100 degrees. Like it's that. Like my face was like, yeah, money. Now, my father-in-law is taking pictures. You know how this story ends. He blew up a picture of me and he framed it. Do you understand? I am behind my kid, and he blew up the worst looking picture of me staring at a $1 bill. And I know where he gets his pictures developed. He goes to Target. So I can just imagine the guy behind the counter like, are you sure you want to blow this one up of this crazy looking gold on my ear having a stroke? Are you sure you want to blow up this picture? And he probably looked at him and said, yes. Yes, I do. Shabbat shalom.
Wow. Are there other instances as well?
Why, yes, Christine, I'm so glad you asked.
I mean, what was your wedding like?
Well, I will tell you about our wedding in a moment, but I will also, I'd like to tell you about another gift my father-in-law once gave me.
Let's hear it.
Which was a real gift, not a gag gift, a real gift. It was a little doll, you know those kitschy dolls that you buy that like you press the doll's hand, it starts to dance and sing?
Okay, yes, right.
You know, like that trout on the wall, that fish.
Rapping
right.
Santa.
Right, yeah, exactly. It was
Snowman,
exactly like rapping
right.
Santa, but it was a rabbi.
Yeah.
And you push the doll's hand and it like shook its butt and was like, Chava, Nagila, Chava.
And he gave that to you.
And he gave that to me.
What did he say when
he
gave
it? It was a gift.
Like a birthday.
Like a birthday gift.
Truly.
Yeah.
And he didn't even say like.
It wasn't like, haha, get it. Let's have a good laugh.
And what does your husband say?
Look. My husband is not going to try to change a 65-year-old man at this point.
65, by the way, not that old.
It's not that old. It's not like our grandparents' generation where we're like,
listen. Getting less old by the minute as I get older.
Well, no, but right. I mean, he's easily around till 85. So this is 20 more years. I'm just doing math.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, no, my husband just laughs. When my husband saw the picture, he laughed because he didn't. I saw the picture first.
Right.
And my mother-in-law brought it over to my house.
So
and I saw
where
it.
Does he display the picture? See, in his living room?
I don't know. They also have a picture book. Like they put it in like a photo
they
album.
They don't have Facebook pages, do they?
No.
That's good.
No.
Well, I think that, see, you know how you said you grew up and you didn't know any Jews or you didn't
right.
even know if you knew any?
Right.
There are people, a lot of people in this country, surprisingly, like that. Like, I knew an actress once. I won't name her. She's not famous, but it's like, I could name the show she was on. You'd be like, oh, that person. I was in a stand-up class with her, and she happened to grow up in Utah. And this class was taught by Mark Lano, co-owner of the Improv. Jew. So she says to Mark, I don't know how they come around to Judaism. And she says, you know, until I moved to Los Angeles, I didn't think there were Jews anymore.
Wow.
Like, she thought they were like Mennonites and people in the Bible.
She thought they'd phase
like,
them
like,
out.
Well,
right.
Historically, there was this group
sure,
of
like
people
Aztecs.
Called Jews.
Right.
But like the fact that there were living people in the United States, she was like, I mean, like dinosaurs were roaming the earth.
Sure.
It's like, don't you have television? I know it's Utah. I know that's a little unique.
I look
I mean,
like a dinosaur
television.
In
you
that
have,
picture.
You're an actor. So, right. Like, you read Neil Simon.
So, Kira, how long
how is this possible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know Woody Allen, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
I went to Utah. Yeah. I did a college. I you know, as a comic, I tour everywhere. I'll take gigs anywhere. It doesn't
sure.
matter. And there was a kid very earnestly, you know, approaching me, like, to talk to me about me being a Jew. Because I talk about it on stage. He's like, hey, is it true that you guys have horns?
That's not true.
At 100% he asked me this. And
no, I totally believe it.
I took a breath. And by the way, this 18-year-old Mormon from Utah is married.
Because and he's wearing magic underwear.
He's definitely, well, who doesn't wear, I don't wear underwear, but who doesn't wear magic?
I heard that about you.
I wear Jewish underwear with a hole in it. You know, the Hasidic, so you
only
can have
pee through a hole,
sheet.
Have sex
dirty,
through a hole.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
So I said to him, I go, come here. I took him kind of a little a ways into this little alcove area, and I said, do you want to feel them?
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, yeah. And he goes, yeah. And he kind of looked over his shoulder. I looked over my shoulder, and people were walking by, and I go, shh, shh, be cool, be cool, be cool, be cool. And those people walked off, and I go, all right, listen. I just shaved them down, so they're very tender.
You are so bad.
And I started to part my hair, right? And the face, the look on his face, he was just, it was like those mummy shows where
sure.
they're about to unravel a mummy, and you're like, oh my God, we're going to see a real mummy. And I start unraveling, and I go, get in close. And I'm looking around like, shh, you can't talk about this. He goes, no, I won't. I start to part my hair, and I go, here, give me your hand. And I put his hand on my hair, and just as he's about to touch my horns, I go, we don't have horns, you idiot! We don't have horns! What kind of jerk are you?
How old do you think he was?
He was 18. I know he was 18.
He was 18.
And
wow.
Married. Married.
That is unbelievable.
Because he has a hard-on. Can I say hard-on on your show?
Sure.
And he,
fuck yeah.
And he has to get married at 18. And that's the only way they can have sex. So
Kira, tell me about your background, because part of your
now,
like,
how do you know I don't wear underwear?
Well, I've heard it on you. I've heard you on a couple of other podcasts.
I do.
Sultanovich. She does wear underwear on occasion.
But I'll
say this: she will go commando.
I will go commando.
I don't care about anything else, and the Jews can go screw themselves. All I want to hear about is you.
Let's talk about it.
What occasion do you wear underwear?
Like right now, because
with,
I respect your furniture.
Or not with
like
pants.
Like yoga pants? I don't wear underwear.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, there's a panty line.
Why?
It's unacceptable.
Why are you going to wear underwear?
Well, because if there were some certain odors, leakage, or queefing.
Wow. What is going on? What are you eating?
You need to
change your diet.
In yoga, when you're doing some of those poses, like a super dog down.
Right.
Or
super dog down. You've never done yoga.
A tree. You don't know.
A tree.
My point is,
by the way, Jews don't queef because they eliminate all that through their horns.
That's right. It goes out automatically.
Yes. That's how we biologically are just different.
It's just a fact. God.
Wikipedia.
So you're in a normal situation, you're wearing underwear. That doesn't seem that strange to me. Like, when you're at home, you don't wear underwear?
No. Why would you wear underwear at home?
I don't wear underwear
at home.
Who would wear underwear at home?
Wait a minute. Do you wear boxer shorts, like, Hannes? Or what do you wear?
No, I wear something.
What are your comfy clothes?
I have my lounge around. Okay. So I moved in with my girlfriend/fiancé. Don't bring it up again. I've been engaged for three years.
Can I bring it up? You were gay?
No, engaged.
Oh, I was gay-ish for about 3 years. I was gay-ish for about three years. Try it out.
No, I'm just, what, with this haircut? I don't think so. But
very nice haircut.
Thank you, thank you. So I just would sit around in crappy old, like, sweat clothes. And eventually Sherry said, you have to buy a decent pair of pajama pants.
Right.
And get a decent T-shirt to sit around so we can play.
But you only did that one time, and it's been like 6 years. That's
no, no, no. It took about 3 years for her to go, listen, I can't look at those things anymore. So now I have Ralph Lauren pajama pants I wear.
But then you only just the one pair, right?
Just the one pair.
That's my point, Hannes, is I think you need something circulating. You sort of mean like three or four pair. Then I understand hanging on for 5 years. But when you're just talking one pair, I know you don't do laundry every day. I know you don't do laundry once a week.
How does she know your laundry?
Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know.
It's very personal, someone's laundry schedule.
Gary Zlatanovich, here's what I want to know.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
Is too long a time frame?
I think that's okay. What I'm getting at is the
5 years. 5 years.
Okay, so the father-in-law and the mother-in-law, I'm just curious about these guys.
I've been with my husband for 10 years.
Okay, and the mother-in-law, how is she?
She's very sweet. And you know what? They're both nice. They mean well, but I just don't think they think through.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think that they would eventually go, you know what? We don't know anything about Jews or Judaism, so maybe we could go to Wikipedia and look that up.
Well,
or the library.
Or maybe just don't give me, like, they went to Disney World on vacation to Florida, yeah.
Right?
They live here. They live here in L.A. And
they brought you an old Jew from Florida.
I wish it would have been better. They brought me Christmas decorations as a Christmas present that was a Mickey Mouse with a yarmulke. And like the little, you know, the little payas, little rings.
So they're almost innocently racist.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they are like full on 100% card carrying anti-Semite.
So
like
maybe your husband has the right tone.
See,
yeah, he laughs. He's just like,
some
what
people
are
bigots. And they don't understand they're bigots because they're not negative. They're not like, no, we don't hate Jews. Our daughter-in-law is a Jew. But they think that they're just. It's like they don't understand that you don't just want things that have the word Jew on them handed to you. That's a weird kind of
It's weird. It's like if I was Muslim and they gave me a little doll that you push the doll's hand, the doll blows up.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
That would be hilarious.
Inappropriate. It's inappropriate.
Now, here's something
you have
that would
a kid,
be
right?
More appropriate is like my daughter loves cats. So I can get her a lot of things that have cats on them because nobody's really being hurt, are they? Do you know what I mean?
No.
So there's kitty sheets and kitty shirts and a little kitty cat.
Right. And as we know, all cats are girls, all dogs are boys, and all turtles are Jews.
Right. And that's about as close to religion we get around our
house. I look like a turtle in that picture. That's my thing. Christine, if you were holding my son, right? And you guys taking a picture, I was taking a picture of you, and you blinked accidentally, I wouldn't blow that picture up. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think that's appropriate.
I looked so hideous. I don't think I've ever looked this hideous in a picture.
That's really
and
funny.
And they blew it up.
Right.
So what is it? Maybe they just hate me. Maybe
where
it's on an anti-Jew.
Where do they live, by the way? Do they live
in the Valley?
Oh,
yeah.
So they live here, too.
They live
wow.
in the Valley.
And they want to see their grandson. So they are an integral
see,
part
again,
of your life.
See, again, it's weird. They're in the city. And yeah, maybe they live in some Presbyterian neighborhood that I don't know about. But it's like,
but
it's Los Angeles.
It's L.A.
It's not like, yeah, they don't talk about, you know, it's not like Judaism isn't, is some, like in Utah, you would hear about it once every 10 years. But in L.A., it's going to be, well, this guy did this or this, or here's this religion or this, you know, and happy new year because it's the new year now.
Well, speaking of our wedding, you know, we didn't want to have a religious wedding because my husband grew up Catholic. So now, of course, he's cured of that. He's not Catholic anymore.
Right.
And I am like, you know, I'm a Soviet Jew. My parents left former USSR because, you know, Jews, you know, were not really welcome in Russia.
No.
And they came to the States so they could stop being Jewish. Just you know what I'm saying? Like,
like
they were so Jewish there in Russia. They came here and they were like, whew, we don't have to be Jews anymore. So
yeah, well, similar, like the guys who ran. That's why in movies in the 40s were so right down the middle American. It's like the guys running were like, no, we're not. Because they were all persecuted Jews from other countries.
Right.
Like, we're not like
we're
that.
Not. We're just Americans.
We're just Americans.
We weren't celebrating any heritage, right?
We didn't have a religious wedding. And I don't think to this day my mother-in-law thinks that we're legally married because we asked my husband Mike, his aunt, so my mother-in-law's sister, to marry us, to be our officiant,
that's
which you
nice,
can do like
family.
On the internet,
sure,
you know,
sure.
basically just... And so she doesn't think we're legally married because a priest didn't do it. Or she'd be fine if a rabbi did it.
Right.
So they're just,
that line,
you know,
that line
narrow-minded.
Of thinking, then she thinks you're going to hell. So
I'm going to hell for way more reasons.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's not for my horns. I have a list of things that I'm going to
Kira,
hell for.
Kira, tell us about the Mother Funny Show.
Well, it's
a
my
new
podcast. Yes.
New.
And I don't know anything about how podcasts, you know, rate or are successful, whatever. But all I know is... Wow, we have great listeners, and I'm so grateful for it. It's all comics who have kids, and we talk about how they cock block our careers.
Right.
So it's all stand-up comics, and we're all parents, and we just discuss what it is. Like, you obviously got something happened to you as a kid that you became a comic. I don't think anyone is perfectly well-adjusted and goes into
childhood.
Stand-up.
No.
So what happened, and now are you going to overcompensate for it because now that you're a parent, and what's it like? Like being on the road and having a kid. And I just talk about, it's two of my favorite subjects. I love talking about comedy. I love talking about stand-up. I love getting into what kids are all about. You know, I'm new. I have a 2.5-year-old. So,
I'm
a new
and
parent.
A half. You are a new parent.
Yeah.
Right? My little girl's six and a half. And it changes.
She's a person. She's a person
big
now.
Time.
Yeah.
It changes very quickly.
Like, okay, this is what I would talk about on my podcast, for example, if we were doing an episode. I would say, give me some advice because my 2.5-year-old is hitting me, like straight up, like, pimp, like, where's my money, bitch, right? Like, just smacking across the face. Like, if he doesn't get one thing that he doesn't like. And as a person, okay, I react one way, like, oh, well, he's a 2.5-year-old.
Right.
And then as a comic, I act like, you don't fucking heckle me. This is my show. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in charge here.
I say that to my daughter
and
all
I
the
treat
time.
Him like he's a drunk audience member.
Yeah.
So what do I do? How do I handle him smacking
I think
me around?
I the right thing. I say that to my daughter all the time. I say, you know, I'm the mommy and you're the kid. And this is how it goes down, and we're going to do it the easy way, or we're going to do it the hard way. So it's all in your court.
But do you, like, discipline? Do you... I never hit back.
No, you don't. I would not hit back. I would say about the hitting, it's just a phase, and it will change.
Yeah.
It really does.
She
everything,
did that to your
changes.
Kid?
Changes. She hit. Hannes, do you remember Alabama hitting you?
Well, only with a car.
Maybe boys are different. He might be rougher.
I think boys are
He doesn't
are
get
different.
One thing. I mean, just one thing doesn't go his
no,
way.
See,
just
I don't even
boom.
Have kids, it and really I would never hit a kid. And yet, I would find it easy to believe that one time I just might hit the kid back.
Because
it's like, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
Right.
What the fuck do you
that's,
think
you're that's
doing?
That's what I say to him all the time.
Right.
And then he says to me, he goes, are you mad? Because I'm visibly angry. Yeah. I'm like pissed off at him, right? And I go, you know what? I'm not mad. I'm disappointed because I think you know better. And he
goes, you guilt him.
Yeah. And he goes, well, disappointed is just a nice way of saying mad. That's what he said to me.
Wow. Like, my daughter will say,
no,
yeah.
You're too smart.
My daughter will say to me, I don't like that face. I don't like that face. The other day she said to me, I tried to.
Does she work in Hollywood?
I try to be very reasonable with her. And like, because I've done all. See, that's the thing as you're a parent is you change tax. So you try this for now. That's right. Working for you, Kira. Mm. And then something else might work later and then something else. So like right now with my daughter, the tack is she says, okay, so I'm trying to like understand. So she says to me, I don't want to go to ballet because there's no jumpy there anymore. And I say, that's understandable. Right.
Right.
Leveling the playground.
Mm. Nice.
And she says, you better believe that's understandable. So they get very smart, and the smarter you are, he's picking up on that. So he's going to turn, and he's going to meet you. So you're going to have to change tacks at some point.
So what do I do when he smacks me?
You just hold his
little
arms.
Because right now I'm taking it personally.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's hard not to, especially when like you gave them every cell in their body.
Yeah.
You know, when you grew them, and that's how they are.
But also it's like you're.
It's hard.
It is personal because, this may sound weird, but it's like if you smacked your kid because you got smacked, you couldn't say to somebody, well, I don't know why he takes it personal. No, you're getting hit.
Right.
If he doesn't get taught severely that's the wrong thing to do, then he's learning I can get away with it. And I would not tell him. And again, as a person with no children, I feel free to give advice to your parents.
Please do.
But it's like, if he says, are you angry? You go, yeah.
Of course I am.
Yes, I'm angry. Because you are acting like a little asshole. That's why it's fine.
Yeah, I can tell you
you're a little
schmuck. Schmuck is
something.
Better.
Fine, but it's like, no, you're making me angry. And you depend on me for food. So why don't you just calm down?
Yeah, no, Hannes, you're good with my daughter. And you step
no,
in.
I don't,
if,
one
if
way to look at it, yes.
They get around you no matter how you...
See, I'm the uncle
parent,
that nobody gets around.
Find their way around. Well, see, now if my daughter is kind of like sassy in front of me or whatever, Hannes will say, Alabama, you don't talk to your mom like that. I mean, so he'll step in, which is kind of nice. You know what I mean? Like the father figure, as
it were.
Yeah,
she doesn't care what you say.
No, she could care less, but she'll listen to him.
And she still has some.
So there's this weird dynamic.
I'm sending my kid over to.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
HF over here.
Send him over with a dollar bill.
Hey,
no, but I just think it's like, see, I'm, but I see her like every couple of weeks or so, and I used to see her more. But it's like the parents, they have, I think at this point, given up on caring what you think of them.
Right.
In a way, they know that they got you love them unconditionally and you'll jump in front of a bus so they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
But it's like there are people who are adults, the uncles and the aunts and the friends, that they are still trying to impress in a certain way. They're still care about their opinion.
Right.
So if I come in and I go, I am disappointed, they care that I'm disappointed.
Carries a lot more weight.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just like her teachers at school or, you know, for that matter, if somebody drops a package off at my door, I could be in a heated discussion or an argument with somebody in my apartment. I open the door and I'm going to say, hello, hello. Nice to see you. Oh, thanks for the package. Bye-bye. And then you turn right back, you know. So we change,
I just
don't
had an
we?
Image you causing the FedEx guys going down. I was like, you fucking cocksucking piece of shit. And you ordered this piece of shit from Amazon.com. You didn't even go through Storyworthy.
That's right. How could you not go through Storyworthy? Kira Sultanovich, you're very funny. And I'm looking forward to listening to more of the Mother Funny Show. I have listened to a few. There's about 10 up or so.
We're new. Yeah, we're brand new. I
so
think there
exciting.
Are 11 episodes.
Welcome to the podcasting world.
I know. It's fun.
Would you like to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
I would love to play some Shotgun Storyworthy.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Okay, I picked up Faith. How funny. Okay, let's talk about it. I guess we'll just keep talking about religion. It's just going to be a religion topic today. But I'm going to talk about, there's one story that I think will be interesting. When I was kicked out of Hebrew Academy in the first grade. So when we first immigrated to the States, you know, as Jews, they let you go to these private, like, you know, Jewy schools, I think basically for free. So my parents were really, really excited and I was getting a private school education. I'm in Hebrew Academy. And I knew I wanted to be a comic, even in the first grade. So I had a table outside in the hallway of Hebrew Academy where it was my own desk because I spent so much time outside of the classroom and in the hallway. One instance was when one of our rabbi teachers was doing some sort of, I don't know what he was, look, you know, Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. It's all I remember is the prayer for food. But they were covering their eyes and doing something with wine. And I was mocking the rabbi. And he had tzitzit, which are these strings that very religious Jewish men wear. It's kind of like under their clothes, part of their underwear, I guess, or their undershirt. And they kiss them when they pray, whatever. But, I mean, when you look at them, they look like something you would, like, you know, whip somebody in a kind of foreplay type of situation. But so he's kissing his tzitzit, and I was mocking him, and I had made tzitzit out of shoelaces. So I had taken my shoelaces, and he's kissing them and saying a prayer, you know, and I'm kissing them going blah, 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 behind him. And I'm six. Do you understand? I'm in the first grade. I'm six. And he's like doing a prayer, and I'm like, blah, 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 you know, chavon nagila. And so it's out into the hallway. I go, get out, go sit at your desk in the hallway. And I was out there writing my bits, waiting for my next turn.
Kira.
I see where your son gets his asshole tendency.
Your son, he's going to have you twisted
totally
so quick.
Is.
He's going to be so quick. He's going to be very smart.
He already is. His timing for a 2.5-year-old is impeccable.
Isn't that something? Because maybe because of his innocence, right? And so he just
I don't know. I truly believe it's genetic.
I truly believe it's genetic. And also from, and my husband's really funny too, but like my kid once threw a bucket of water on my head during bath time as I'm getting ready to leave and go do
right.
a show.
Right.
You know, he has one of those big bath cups and he pours it on me, just jacks up my hair, makeup, my whole outfit.
Oh, you were dry.
I was dry. I was outside of the bathtub washing him.
Giving him a bath.
Giving him a bath.
Oh,
and I'm ready to go to
you.
A show.
Yeah.
My husband's coming
He's
home.
He's messing with you, man.
And the first words out of my mouth were, "Have you lost your mind?"
Yeah.
Beat, beat, beat. And he goes, "Well, obviously."
Wow. Wow, that's really
so
smart.
He knew to
What's
wait.
His name?
Braden.
Braden.
Okay,
Braden.
Well, obviously, now he's going to be a prop comic, so you're raising a new Gallagher.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, there has to. We have to.
Yeah,
fill,
he has
fill
to be,
that.
Yes, at some point,
void.
Gallagher will move on to that great
Hasn't
watermelon
already?
Smash in the sky.
Well, listen, this has been really fun. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
What
for
a delight!
Having
you make me.
Me
laugh. You're very funny.
You guys gave me a great reason to put on underwear.
And we follow you at Kira Comedy. That's easy.
Best compliment
That's
what
we're
ever.
Follow
yes.
you.
Yes.
And we'll look for you more on Jay Leno.
Please do. I'll be on. I was just on.
Oh, you were just on. Tell me he's a good guy, right?
He is.
I've heard that.
He's really a good guy.
Is.
I remember when I was on the Tonight Show.
Yeah,
I met
okay, Hannes, let's hear your story. No, come on. We're going to wrap
no,
it up.
No, it's not that exciting.
It.
It's just he's very nice. He's exactly the way he is on TV.
Yeah.
And I think people are on TV that much.
Yeah.
Half,
no, Hannes
they
has been on like
not
five or six
be,
times.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? How many times?
Nine times.
Nine
but,
times.
Ooh.
Isn't that cool?
Ooh. Very cool.
I think it's very cool.
One time
it
was just
naked.
My back. With there was a sketch about the new Ronco shave patterns into your husband's back hair thing. And they had another guy who actually is
one.
Hairy.
I have that one.
But they didn't want to, like, they had these, like, patterns of weird back hair, like the Eiffel Tower and shit. And they figured, well, if we keep gluing them on and off the same guy all day, this will take forever. So I was the stunt back.
Do you put that on your resume, Hannes? Is that, like, under special skills?
Stunt back?
Can
stunt
wear
back.
A hairpiece?
Yes. Yes, and yeah, the other time I had a hairpiece on my head because I had a tremendous comb over.
That's awesome, though. 11 times, and you were naked in one of them.
No. That was in the History Channel. I was naked.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of information.
People always
that.
Confuse History Channel with The Tonight Show.
They do.
It's very
they
common.
Do.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I'd like to thank a couple of people, including Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network.
Yay.
And, of course, Jorge Reyes. And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Kira Soltanovich, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.